Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 197, Dan. Hey, buddy, pull up a stool. How you doing this week?
Nah, not bad, Doug. How you doing?
Hanging in there. I get to talk Disney with you again. Are you tired of talking Disney with me yet, Dan?
No, not yet.
That's a good thing.
I'll let you know if I do, though.
I don't think we will, because we both drink the Kool-Aid so much.
Right,
We had shots to the Kool-Aid every once in a while, but... We're both drinking the Kool-Aid, and nobody else wants to listen to us.
Right.
We except our Kool-Aid. Fans, our yeah. friends, we call them.
Yeah, with the Disney floaters on top. That's what we use.
They're the best kind, aren't they?
Yes.
Our buddy exactly. Bob taught us how to drink them.
Yeah, and then Bob's he takes care of us in that regard.
Yeah, him and his peer pressure to drink.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, he's headed down to Florida. He's down in Florida as we speak, having some more fun down at Walt Disney World.
He's a lucky man.
Absolutely. He gets to commute like every few weeks, goes back down. That's our dream, Dan.
Yeah, it's all in your perspective. I'm sure he dreads that drive from Atlanta to Orlando, but we would, you know, kill to have that commute, I guess. You know.
Absolutely. So. Well, every time he calls me, he's headed there. He sounds good. Now, coming home, he don't sound as nice.
Yeah.
But heading down, he sounds good.
Yeah, I remember those days when I used to drive down there. Going down, you're just on pure adrenaline, and you got your whole trip ahead of you, and you almost float down, you know, for me, 1,300 miles. Coming back, it seems like 13,000 miles. You just, you know, you're just... In your mind, your trip is over, and you just want to be home, and it just seems like the longest drive ever, you know?
On the way down, it's like, it's a world of laughter, a world of cheer. And then it's like, on the way home, it's like the fifth time you're on that ride.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a small world. It's like, stop it.
I mean, I just can visualize it. There's nothing sadder than passing under the gates or the big, you know, the Welcome to Walt Disney World sign, and then you pass that buckle up sign, the purple sign, and it says, you know, see you real soon or something like that. And,
it brings tears to your eyes.
It's brutal. It's like they're throwing you out into the real world, you know, and it's just such a sad feeling.
It's like you're evicted.
Yep.
It's like on Survivor. You've been voted off the island. You are not the sole survivor.
Right.
Get out of here.
And it always seems like it was just a snap of a finger. It was like we were just driving under this, just like it seemed like the other day when we were getting here, and your trip's all over. You've eaten all that great food and went on all those great attractions, and you got, you know, nothing but the long ride north to look forward to.
Mine's 1,027 miles.
Yeah,
mine's 16 and a half hours it takes me.
Yeah, I'm just over 1,300 miles from me, and yeah, I've clocked that many a time from my driveway to pulling into the portico over at Riverside, and it's about 1,300 and not about it is 1,313 miles. That's without getting off any exits. That's a, you know, pretty much a straight through trip.
1,313.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it's a hike, but it, you know, I still prefer to drive than fly myself.
Yeah, I don't mind either way. As long as I'm going to Disney World, I don't care. Plane, train, bus, as long as I'm going, I'm happy.
I just hope if when we finally take a trip, then it isn't like planes, trains, and automobiles. You ever see that movie?
Yeah, I have. Yes.
My wife picked on me for watching that movie. She goes, "What are you watching?" And then she's seen like a couple seconds of it. And she was, like, giving me the eye, like, what are you watching? And then all of a sudden, a couple months went by, and she watched the movie. And she goes, I have to apologize. That is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. But she was upstairs. I was doing something, so I couldn't go in.
Right.
But I heard her upstairs laughing. And next thing I know, she's just telling me she watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That is one of the greatest movies ever.
Yeah, it's pretty good flick.
Yeah, it was awesome. But hopefully we don't have that kind of trip then.
No. There's always adventures, you know. Something always happens, or, you know, something out of the ordinary. But, it's kind of fun. Those are the memories you have, you know, those trips and road trips and different things. And
I look forward to it. Like I said, with all of our lives, how busy, and we're both me and my wife work the whole nine yards. It's one of those deals where I get to spend 16 hours with her, and she is my best friend. I love being with her. So it's kind of like I look forward to. I know she don't look forward to being trapped in a car with me, but I look forward to be trapped in a car with her for 16 hours.
Right.
We just get to be together. It's like nothing is interrupting. The dog ain't coming in yelling at us, you know, all that. It's just us two for a nice trip.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different. There's no doubt about it. I mean, even before everyone had cell phones, you know, that was even more secluded, if you will, you know. But now with cell phones, you know, you can talk to anybody anywhere, and, you know, it takes some of the
privacy out of
it. Yeah,
that.
I guess. I don't know.
But, yeah, we have a good time, and I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully in the spring I'll be taking my next drive down. I've had 40-plus trips down there, so I'm hoping for more.
Oh, you'll get more, that's for sure.
So what's in the news this week, my good buddy?
Let's see, a couple of things. Breakfast is coming to the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater at Disney's Hollywood Studio. It says for a limited time, but beginning on November 1st through January 23rd, breakfast will be offered alongside lunch and dinner at the popular Studios restaurant. The all-inclusive breakfast will include pastries, choice of appetizer, entree, and non-alcoholic beverage. Menu items will include puff pastry filled with scrambled eggs, crab, asparagus, Gruyere, I don't know how to say that, cheese, you know.
Gruyere
cheese, yep, there you go. With roasted tomatoes, grilled beef tenderloin on baby spinach with bacon and cheddar custard, on a roasted tomato and cheesy horseradish potatoes. Oh, that sounds good.
That does sound good.
Yeah. Scrambled eggs, crispy bacon, sausage links, and breakfast potatoes. Macadamia crusted brioche French toast with mascarpone and fresh berries. Cost for this breakfast is going to be $23 for adults and $12.99 for kids ages 3 to 9.
No, there's no characters at this, though, right?
It doesn't appear to be. And for those that haven't been to the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater, it's an indoor drive-in movie theater complete with vintage sci-fi clips shown on a big screen with diners seated in classic cars. There are some tables around the perimeter, so there is a chance you may not get a car or you'd
They're considered the cheap seats.
Yeah, right. Those are the people that jumped over the fence to see the movie.
Well, I'll be honest with you. If I eat in there and I get stuck in MC, I just want to go. I don't want to eat.
Oh, yeah.
The food has never been what sells you for the place.
Right.
It's the atmosphere sitting in the drive-in car.
I mean, I think we've done it before. I mean, it's kind of like soaring if you want the top row or whatever. Yeah, I mean, if your number's called and they start walking you over to one of those tables, just tell them you're going to wait. I mean, you might have to wait another 20 minutes or something. But, you know, you're right, Doug. You definitely don't want to go there and not sit in one of the cars. That's the whole point.
Exactly. You might as well just – if you're going to pay $23 for breakfast, you might as well just eat it. I mean, even though that breakfast does sound pretty good, I mean, and that price isn't like – for breakfast, it's a lot, but at least there's some crab and horseradish mac. There's some different things that you get out of this breakfast instead of just the normal fare. So if you ate in a drive-in car for a one-time deal, it would be pretty fun just to do it. But it isn't my favorite restaurant of all. The atmosphere is, but the food isn't all that.
Yeah, I mean, this restaurant isn't one that comes to my mind if I was thinking about a breakfast ADR somewhere. I don't think I would even think of the Sci-Fi Dine-In, and well, they never had breakfast, so I guess I wouldn't have. But even offering this, I don't know. Maybe I would go on our studios day just to try it out. But it'll be interesting.
It would be something different to say we did the report on
it.
I would do it more for the show than it would be for myself.
Right.
Just to give a head, you know, to give a review on it. Now I'm wondering, when all said and done, with all Star Wars Land coming in, blah blah blah, I wonder if this is going to turn into some kind of Star Wars themed restaurant.
You would think it would, only because the way the building, the structure of the building, it's kind of like a dome, kind of, at least on the inside to me. You'd think it would be easily be able to be, you know, transformed into some sort of dark space-based, you know, restaurant. So, yeah, I mean, if I was a betting man, I'd say that it will. That's
even if they kept the cars and did Star Wars clips, if you follow me, of all the different movies and trailers and stuff like that from the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
And that might even be neat.
Yeah, they could do it on the cheap like that, but I'd be willing to guess if they're going to put this multi-billion dollar, you know, upgrade in, they would probably gut it and, you know, put some, you know, make it a little more interesting than just change the movie. But who knows?
No, I'm looking forward to it. Something else at the studios. I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing about if you go in the fall. Let me know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, let me know how you like it. But
right.
I'm looking forward to hear some feedback and stuff from it. I mean, it's just like the only thing is the $23. Don't you think that's a little high though still for breakfast?
Yeah, I do, and I'd be tempted to
without the characters.
Yeah. I'd be tempted to just slip over to the writer's stop right next door and get a carrot cake cookie, a coffee, and be done with it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, I mean, I could see $15 maybe. If you want to go high for a breakfast, but I mean, how much more can you – I mean, unless you're a really super big eater, you're not going to get $20 – you can't eat $23 worth of breakfast meats.
No.
Unless it's lobster and really – I mean, it's – but even then, I don't need lobster for breakfast. Do you?
No, I mean, we, like I said, we do the one big breakfast each trip, which is at the Captain's Grill. We love it over there, as I've said many times. But generally speaking, I mean, I probably eat breakfast more than anybody in the family. Like my wife, she never likes to eat when she first gets up. So, you know, she'd rather eat either a late breakfast or even a brunch and combine lunch and breakfast. She's good with a cup of coffee and, you know, maybe a half of a muffin or just something, you know, a couple bites.
Just something to get it going.
Yeah, yeah.
I go to work 90% of the time. I eat an oatmeal breakfast bar.
Right, just something to prime the pump.
Yeah, so I'm not, like, getting that low sugar feeling, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you're on empty, but
right.
I don't usually eat it. Sundays are the day I get up and make breakfast, like, during football season. I love to make a big breakfast. But
that's more of an event than it is, like, I'm starving and I want this stuff. It's kind of like, you know, it's your routine, right?
Yeah, because I fire up breakfast around 7 o'clock, 7:30, and then it's done around 9 because I like my potatoes to cook for an hour. I like to slow cook my home fries.
Get them nice and soft.
Yeah, and look, soft on the inside and crunchy on the outside. Give them a little. They're perfect, Dan. I'm telling you, you got to have them.
Yeah, you can't rush those. If you do, they end up soggy. And you're right. You're right. You got to get that, you know, right crust on.
Consistency of them.
Yeah.
The right texture.
Exactly.
Perfect texture. Not too greasy. Not just perfect.
Right.
And that's the deal, Bill. But all that is like. I don't know where you get $23 for breakfast without characters, but I guess it's because it's the event at the Sci-Fi Theater.
Yeah.
Might as well do lunch. It's cheaper.
And probably, yeah, and you get better food. I mean, I think we've eaten it.
Yeah.
You're right, Doug. It's just, you know, run-of-the-mill. I think we even got burgers or something. It wasn't
anything.
That's
what we got, hamburgers.
Yeah, I think they have a milkshake there that's pretty good, if I recall correctly. But
it's a good time. It's just me. I'm just crying. But, you know, I'd rather go over to myself for the buck. I'd rather go over to 50s.
Right.
10 times out of 10 if I had the choice.
I'm just glad they don't serve King Crab there. You'd really be crying.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, buddy.
Let's see. Moving on here. Minnie Mouse's Costume Chaos will be the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom card to be exclusively distributed at this year's Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And this new card shows Minnie on a looks like she's stirring a big pot of
trouble.
Yeah, there you go. And this is you know that. computer game that's around the Magic Kingdom that you can play, and you get the cards issued at the fire station, if I'm not mistaken, and you can play and do different things and learn things and go around the parks. Have you ever played this, Doug?
No, I have not.
And you're the computer, you're the gamer. I thought you'd be all over this.
No, because Doug's all over Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, while everybody else is watching. I watch The Headless Horseman, and I'm over it.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, we actually did, I mean, I wouldn't say we did this. We got the cards, and we went to a couple of the stations and pushed the buttons and either answered some questions, or I forget exactly what we did. But, again, and I'm not a gamer, so I guess it would be expected, but I lost interest in it almost immediately. I had zero interest in it, but I did see a lot of families, a lot of fathers with kids and stuff going, kind of coming up all excited and playing it. So I guess it's pretty popular, but to be honest, I haven't really noticed anybody playing it my last couple of trips to the Magic Kingdom. But then again, I'm not looking for it,
No, neither are we. So I'd probably miss out. I really miss out on it too. I'm more roaming around the park.
Right.
Trying to hide from everybody else and get on rides.
I mean, I remember being at Sunshine Seasons, but the terrace there where you get the Dole Whips, or where you used to get the Dole Whips, and there was one right next to it, and I didn't even realize it. All of a sudden, some family came up, and the thing, it must be motion activated or something when somebody stands in front of it, and it came on. So I watched it, but if they hadn't come up, I wouldn't even have known it was there.
Nah, I hear you. Especially at night there, it's hard to see stuff.
Right. Yeah.
If it's not lit up or something like that, you will walk right by it. Especially over in the Pirates area is a really dark area, isn't it? Frontierland and that whole area.
Yeah, with the vegetation, and you're right. There's obviously it's not lit up in neon like over in Tomorrowland, so it sets the scene over there. And it is a quite dark area of the park. No doubt about it.
It is Frontierland. That whole area over there is very, very dark. I mean, if you remember, even over in around Seven Dwarfs and all, it's pretty dark, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, thinking about it, I'm sure there's adequate lighting so people, can get their footing and stuff. But you're right, your sight lines, it is rather dark. But again, that sets the stage.
The stage for the party. But at night, during that party, it's really dark in there. The only place it isn't is Tomorrowland.
Right, and if you go down by the, the Haunted Mansion and stuff, I mean...
Oh, it scares me then.
Yeah, you hear that howling in the background. It's pretty awesome. So I don't even think I told you this, but we did book Mickey's Not So Scary. We ended up going, so we're going on the Sunday.
You have the Periscope, the Headless Horseman for us.
I will do that, and I will get this card and send it to you, Doug.
Okay, want one.
Yeah, you will need to show a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party ticket and event wristband to get your card. So we'll be getting a bunch of them, and nobody plays. So I'll get this, and you'll have who is it? Minnie, Clarabelle Cow, and Daisy Duck dressed as.
I cannot wait. They will be right next to my coasters on my recording in the recording studio here on my desk.
There you go.
Looking forward to it, buddy. Thanks for looking out for me.
Hey. Anything for you.
Thanks, my pal.
Yeah, just a general comment here, and this shouldn't be unexpected, but some people are still in summer mode, even though the calendar has turned over to September, but the fall has arrived at the Magic Kingdom, and all of the pumpkins and the bunting and all of the hay bales and all that great stuff that they put on Main Street USA and over by the ferry boats where you get on to go across, all that stuff is out. So fall is here officially.
All the mums, the fall flowers, everything is out. I'll tell you what, besides Christmas, there's nothing more beautiful than fall at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, that train station with the big pumpkins, It's the most beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy when I see that. It just puts a smile on my face.
Yeah, I really, really like it with the fall. The orange and yellow and browns, they just look, it makes it look pretty good. And, we've been down there almost every fall for the last I don't know how many years. So it's kind of a an
Staple
ex
for you
yeah,
now.
it is. It really is. I mean, we go other times of the, in the spring and stuff too. But fall is our time of year, and it's our favorite time of year to go there. So we love seeing the, particularly the Magic Kingdom, all dolled up in the fall festive colors.
Yeah, fall's by far. Late summer, early fall, like end of August, beginning of September, October. That's absolutely the most times I've ever been there. Out of all the 40-some trips or whatever,
Yeah.
I'd say probably half of them's been in that time frame. And then February's been quite a bit. But Christmas time is still, a couple times, is still my favorite time of the year to be down there. It's harder to get down there because you don't want to leave family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
But
it's a big sacrifice because you're right, Doug. Unless you work it out where, basically the whole family goes down, which, generally speaking, that's kind of tough to do with everyone's schedule, work, and such. Yeah, you got to make some sacrifices, and some people aren't willing to do that.
Yeah, because my wife's work, a lot of times they don't, like, because we went down the first week of December. But, there's a lot of people with jobs that have restraints. They don't want you taking off the month of December because you're off for the holiday.
Yeah, I mean.
And they got to get things done before the end of the year. So a lot of companies won't let you take off in December. So that's been one of our problems, too.
Yeah, there's that, and anybody that works in retail. I mean, even when I worked for the Disney store, there was basically a moratorium. They wouldn't even sell you the park tickets between Thanksgiving and New Year's. I mean, they were blackout dates. It was basically, look at retail. This is our heyday. This is our, this is where we make 80% of our money for the whole year in our stores. And you literally couldn't take time off, or they wouldn't grant vacation time during that period.
Yeah, my wife's not in the, and that she's in the dental field, but it's the same way. Like a lot of companies in December, they got to get everything ready before the beginning of the new year.
Right, right.
So it was hard, but we did get down there a couple times, and that's been by far my favorite time of the year. I mean, it's just breathtaking at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Just to see the decorations is ridiculous. But fall is not too far behind. I mean, last fall, I mean, Brenda, my wife is a fall girl. That's her favorite time of year, fall.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, those traveling to Disney World, during the fall, September, October, early November, it's still a shoulder time or a swing time as far as weather goes. I mean, you can get anything from, 50s or high 40s to, 90s, and sometimes it'll heat up during the day and it'll seem like a normal, summer day in Florida, and at night you're looking for a sweatshirt because it cools right down. So you got to kind of be ready for any type of weather during that time of year. And on top of that, it's, the height of hurricane season as well.
Absolutely. We have one of those nights. It was like 88 degrees, and then cruising home, it was like 55 out. And
right.
I was loving it. I had the window down. I was listening to some classic rock. I was like a young kid again.
Right.
Then I looked in the mirror and said, "Look, you old man,
turn that
radio down.
Right.
You're too old for that."
Right.
Nah. Brings back memories on a nice, cool night to have the window down out cruising. And that's what's nice about there. Like, you're wearing your T-shirt during the day, and at night, there's nothing like putting a sweatshirt on at Disney World. It just seems good.
Yeah, because, generally speaking, those times are far and few between. And it is nice because you're usually trying to shed clothing or you're dripping in sweat. So
yeah.
When you can put a, I can't even remember. Well, I can when we've gone out to a dinner or something. I mean, I usually bring a pair of, slacks or whatever to go out. But I was just going to say, I can't remember the last time I wasn't in shorts down in Florida or at Disney World. But I take that back because I do when we go out, like, to the California Grill or something. I'll throw on a pair of khakis.
Absolutely. That's what I'll do once in a while because I wear the Dockers.
Right, right.
They're just good enough.
Yeah.
You know, getting in total dress pants. That ain't happening.
Exactly. And I hate to do that, but it's the right thing to do in my view anyways.
Yep.
So we got some news this week, this week, that another one of the restaurants has a scheduled open date. The Morimoto Asia today announced that it will be officially opening its doors on September 30th. So this month or later this month, Morimoto Asia will be opening at Disney Springs. And that is great, great news.
I bet you can't wait. I mean, you're gonna do that? You're gonna try to do that now? I see they're doing on the is the Disney dining plan ready yet?
Yeah, no, it isn't, and it actually is going to open up by OpenTable, which is an app where restaurants kind of book tables through that, where you can, go on your cell phone, iPad, computer, whatever, and you can book tables not only in Disney World but anywhere for that matter. So I'm not really sure why they're doing this in kind of steps, but they're not going to be ready for the regular Disney dining reservations right away. And
That's how it opened it. The same thing happened at the Boathouse, remember?
yeah, maybe that's exactly what was going on, and I just didn't realize that. But yeah, it's going to be it will be open lunch, dinner, and weekend brunch, and it'll be open daily from 11:30 to 2 a.m.
Ooh, you're gonna be rocking the night away.
Yeah, so
Get a nice late dinner. Hey, baby, let's do a midnight dinner.
yeah, I them days are over for me.
No,
Yeah.
but how popular this is, they might be the plans you got to
Right.
make.
Well, yeah, hey, whatever it takes to get in there. But yeah, the menu is Chef Morimoto's eclectic take on his favorite Asian flavors, including Mushu pork, Peking duck, lobster chow fun, sweet and sour crispy whole fish, and kung pao chicken. Dim sum will be served daily, weekend brunch service, and will include a variety of dumplings. There you go, Doug. You love
Yeah,
dumplings.
I'm in. Long as they're steamed, not fried,
Yeah.
buddy.
Shamai, bao, spare ribs, and more. So
I can't wait, my friend.
then the sushi, an intimate 14-seat counter, will offer pristine sushi and say that word for me, sashimi. Is that it?
Yeah, you're
Did I say
sashimi.
it? All right, there you
Yeah.
go. Options from around the world include items include toro. I shouldn't have went down this road.
You
Kenpachi,
got to. Come on to
Japanese red
Boston.
snapper, uni, sea eel, hamachi, fluke, and salmon, as well as more ocean delicacies.
You know, Pat, or his favorite part of our whole show is when the Boston Butcher comes out.
Yeah, he comes out quite a bit too. A variety of specialty sushi rolls and selections from the raw bar will be also offered. While traditional sushi service will be limited to the guests seated at the sushi bar, a selection of specialty rolls and sushi platters will be available to the main restaurant diners. So, yeah, that's interesting. You'll be able to get, specific stuff just at the sushi bar.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I everything on that menu sounds really good to me, and he's an incredible chef. I mean, I'm an Iron Chef fan. I mean, I don't watch it all the time, but I have seen him on there quite a bit, and I can't wait. All these restaurants down here is driving me nuts.
Yeah, because like we
It's too
said,
many now. I mean, I'm happy about it. I'm nuts in a good way, but it's like, where do you want to go?
right. No, it is true, and we spoke about that a few shows ago. I mean, if you still want to, do your old standbys or your old favorites and add in some new ones, it might take you a couple, 3, 4 years to do this, or it may take you doing a lunch at one and a dinner at another. But given the fact that obviously all these restaurants are at Disney Springs, if you're a park person and you tend to be at the parks for the majority of your days that you're there, that's going to be a problem.
Absolutely, and now it's going to be a problem with your whole dining experience. You better not drop the Yakinyeti.
No, I'll work it out somehow or another.
Or the Boathouse.
Yeah, well, I got to do both. I mean, I do want to do the Boathouse because I think we are going to do the amphicars there, whatever they call them.
The amphibian cars.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not a good value and it's outrageously expensive, but again, that's just an experience that I want to have. And
Periscope.
yeah, no.
You'll be periscoping, your wife will throw you overboard
Yeah, well,
again.
there's always a chance of that. I think she just paid the insurance premium, so yeah, there's a chance of that. But yeah, I mean, I've heard so many good things. I mean, everyone that we've interviewed that talked about the Boathouse, our good friend Bob Sikon from All in WDW, he and his wife have eaten there and they raved about it. I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about the Boathouse, so I'm definitely not getting rid of that resi for this trip. But we have some open days. I didn't book solid ADRs for each and every day, so I'll be able to finagle the bagel here and you know, get everything in.
Well, if it wasn't for food and wine, it would be no problem.
Right, right. That's the wild card. You're absolutely.
Yeah, that's the problem there because of all that, because you want to enjoy that too. So you're kind of at a catch-22.
Right.
So you might have to do one day at food and wine this year for trying if you do extra resis.
Resis, get with the program.
What about Jock Lindsey's? What's going on with that? Have you heard anything new about that?
No. Other than it's, you know, full bore, full speed ahead as far as construction goes. But, yeah, I think they said early 2016, if I remember, for that
one.
Yeah, but
you're lucked I'll move that up.
Yeah, right, right. Well, and, you know, God willing, we'll be going in the spring again, too. So, you know, we'll grab that one in the spring if it's open.
You'll have to go over to our friends. If you all these restaurants keep open, you might have to go over to our friends at Scooter Orlando and get a scooter to cart you around after all you're going to eat.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, so anyways, getting back to Morimoto's, you will be able to make reservations via Open Table from September 16th and via Disney Dining Online from November 1st, 2015. So basically what I'm saying here is you won't be able to use the regular Disney dining to book reservations at Morimoto's until November 1st. And it opens September 30th. So if you want to get a reservation for the 30th, you know, for the grand opening or, you know, when it first opens.
Any day in October, you got to go the other route.
Right. You'll have to use this Open Table. And again, I did search in the iTunes store and I downloaded the app, but I just haven't had time to play around with it. But I would imagine
everybody let Dennis book his trip for his dinner first, and then you guys can book yours because he did tell you about it.
Party of four, I'm booking. That's all I know. Actually, we are a party of four now, so that will be reality. But I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try it because I'm willing to bet that the reservations will go quite quickly for this new restaurant. It's been much talked about, and like you said, Doug, Chef Morimoto is, you know, famous from being on the food.
It's a shame Matthew ain't with you.
Oh yeah, he'd be loving that. But I think he has a place in New York too. I don't know if it's a different style restaurant or whatever, but I think he's eaten at one of his restaurants. But yeah, he has a lot of respect for him. And Morimoto, he was one of the very, very early Iron Chefs. I mean, back when I used to watch Food Network, he was on.
Yeah.
I don't know. He may still be, but I mean, he was one of like the originals, as I recall.
Oh, absolutely. He was one of the originals there at the Food Network doing that whole Iron Chef. It's one of the best things. When they break out some of those things like squid and all the other stuff, it's crazy.
Right.
Well, some of the different things, they break out these other fish that I've never heard of in my life that they got to cut apart. And
yeah, but what's that one that looks like a coconut that has all spikes coming out of it?
I was thinking the same thing. It's like purple or whatever is. And I don't know what the name of it is, but that was exactly what I was just talking about. I don't know what the heck that is, but it's pretty cool when they start cooking with that.
Yeah.
It's a real delicacy.
Right, and they get all excited and they grab them all and stuff. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but, you know, that's all good.
Yeah, keep it away from me. My wife would know immediately.
Yeah, I don't know.
Some sign of sea urchin.
Yes, exactly.
It's a sea urchin. There you go.
That's exactly what it is.
She'd be proud of me. I pulled it. I thought of it, baby.
Right.
So. But yeah, I'm looking forward to trying all these. It's going to be like a smorgasbord of food next time I'm down.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of that waterfront, if you will, is going to look just totally, totally different. You know, we saw a lot of the structures, you know, last time you were down and the last time I was down, but now once they, you know, the facades are up and the actual, you know, signage is all in place, it's going to look different, no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, the more they keep taking walls down, the prettier she's getting in old downtown and new Disney Springs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What's up next, buddy?
Yeah, what's this? Tomorrow's Force Friday, which this was a couple of days ago, merchandise event at Disney's, Downtown Disney's Once Upon a Toy is now open to all and no longer carries a $50 entry fee.
No, my goodness. Thank goodness. We talked about that before. You have 50 bucks to spend money.
Yeah. They announced the change to the original plan and attributed it to overwhelming guest demand.
So we're going to charge you an extra 50 bucks. How about you just hold a raffle and let everybody get it for free? But, you know what I'm saying? How about you just do like you do at the deli?
Right.
And just maybe put out 50 numbers and let everybody just grab them. Whoever's there first gets a number.
Right.
But no, we're gonna charge. We'll fix them. We'll charge them an extra $50 because we need it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, very rarely do you see this that they've taken it back. But yeah, guests who had previously purchased tickets will get a full refund of the $50, but will be the first guest who went to the store and will receive the messenger bag.
They heard the Main Street podcast. We put the hammer down.
Yeah. The event began, I guess, at 12:01 a.m., blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so, yeah, they must have got some real negative feedback on that that made them rethink that whole thing.
Yeah, well, we blasted them here. I just couldn't understand. You. You're paying money. You're going to give me money so you can spend more money. I mean, hello?
Right.
Yeah, that didn't go over big.
No, no. Let's see here. Raglan Road hosted its Great Irish Hoolie this Labor Day weekend.
So the Irish need another day to drink, another 4 days to drink.
Right, right. celebrating the halfway point to St. Patrick's Day in March, the festivities commenced on Friday, September 4th, and they go through September 7th, featuring rather fantastic Irish food and live music. Along with the Raglan Road dances, there will be two performance stages for the guest bands, who will include Screaming Orphans, the Raglan Roots Coalition, Jig Jam, the West Coast Trio. Check out the performer lineup and schedule below. So, yeah, depending on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or on Monday, you can see... you know, they have the main stage, the piano stage, and you can see some of these bands and even other ones that we didn't even mention. So if you're into the Raglan Road atmosphere and all that stuff, this would be a good take for you.
I like this idea. I'm going to start spreading the word around that I get a six-month birthday present, too. It's halfway to my birthday, so I can get some more Disney gift cards.
There you go.
I mean, it's halfway to St. Patrick's Day. Let's have four more days to get drunk.
Yeah.
Is basically what they're saying. I mean, it's a good time. Raglan Road's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's...
It's an excuse to have a big party for Labor Day weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it is. And, you know, if it's not a real... I mean, you know, Labor Day is a... You know, it's a holiday weekend, but it's not really a holiday, so to speak. Well, it is a holiday, but
yes,
you know what
is.
I mean. It's not.
It's not Christmas, but it's Labor Day is you know, it's popular. I know that my unions are all over it.
Oh yeah.
To the unions, it's more important than any other holiday.
Right, right. Labor Day, right?
Yeah, that's the only day they won't. It's the only day of the calendar year you're not allowed to work. You believe that? Like they can't. You can work Christmas overtimes, double time, all that other, but you're forbidden to work on Labor Day.
They literally shut the job sites down and lock them.
Yeah, you'll get serious trouble. You work Labor Day.
Right, right.
It's the only day.
That's funny, but it makes sense. I get
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Night of Joy is already sold out for Saturday night, so this year's Night of Joy looks to be a popular event with one night already sold out, and I believe that's on the 11th and 12th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, September 11th is Friday, which
yep.
are still tickets available. September 12th is completely sold out.
Right. So I've never seen this. I know we went through the list of attendees or performers, I should say, that we're going to perform. And, yeah, I mean, if you're into this type of thing, it's probably a good take. And in fact, I think we were negligent here, Doug. I think we were supposed to do some homework and find out if they actually shut down the park or a part of the park to show these things.
I didn't
do my homework.
I tried to look some things up, but I couldn't get the confirmation either way. But
yeah.
What we could do is on the app on your phone, you could see what the schedule is for that night.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because you have the Disney Parks app.
Right. If we match it up against the park hours for that night, we'll quickly be able to find out whether or not it is a ticketed, you know, special event or whether they just play in the park. But we'll check on that.
Yeah, I don't know. It ain't for me, but I know it's very, very popular. The teens would kick me out. I'm too old of a man.
Yeah, they'd say, who's that creepy guy standing over there? Get him out of here.
That old man.
But anyways, World of Disney opened early for Force Friday. Star Wars merchandise is taking over downtown Disney for a day as Force Friday merchandise event begins. So let's see what this is all about. They opened at 8 a.m. We'll be selling a range of new Star Wars The Force Awakens merchandise, which that's the next movie that's coming out, right? Or the new one, I should say.
Yes.
And Once Upon a Toy at Downtown Disney will also be offering the merchandise. So this must be all The Force Awakens branded merchandise. I'm assuming T-shirts and toys and lightsabers and all that stuff that goes with Star Wars. So here comes the merch.
So just so all of our fans know, and friends or whatever, you know, all you wonderful people out there, they do close the park down at 7 p.m. at the Magic Kingdom on Friday night, September 11th. And the Magic Kingdom's closed at 7 p.m. on Saturday night. So if you're down there and you're having a good time, you're going to be kicked out of the Magic Kingdom at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's open to 10 on Sunday, though. Now, what sense does that make?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured that would be the case. Without knowing for sure, and thanks, Doug, for looking that up. But, you know, you're right. That just goes, put that in line with all the Mickey's Not So Scaries and the Very Merry Christmas Parties, now the Night of Joys, and, you know, all those nights that are not available to the regular guest that purchased a ticket to Walt Disney World on that particular date. And, like you said, Doug, most people that go, they're not looking at these schedules. They're not going to have any idea that the Magic Kingdom, in all likelihood, closes at 7 on that night.
No, like, because, again, on the following week is when the Halloween party starts again. There's a Friday night one. It closes at 7. And then Saturday, the Magic Kingdom's open to 11 again, which normal park hours, anytime on a Friday or Saturday, the earliest the Magic Kingdom ever closes, unless there's a ticketed event, is at 9 o'clock.
Right. And that's probably in the dead of winter, I'm sure.
Yes, and it's usually 10 or 11 on every weekend because locals go.
Right.
So I think it's a crime, like you were just saying, that if, and we preach on this all the time, we're never going to stop because we're drinking at the bar right now. We're moaning. But the point is, it's just sad if you didn't plan ahead and you don't get a park hopper. That's why you got it, Disney. Just add park hopper to every ticket. It's stupid not to.
Well, and plus, let's just say, you know, you only went for a 4 or 5 day trip and you chose this day as your Magic Kingdom day. And let's say you made an ADR at Tony's, let's just say. So, you know, you were planning on having dinner, say, at 5 o'clock or 5:30, 6 o'clock or whatever, and your plan was to see, you know, Wishes that night, or, you know, the Main Street Electrical Parade or whatever. You know, your whole plan would be blown out of the water because, like you said, they're going to throw you out, you know, by the scruff of the neck at 7 o'clock, right, or 6:30 or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, they'll let you finish your dinner, but you're right out the door.
Right.
But the bottom line is most people don't look for during their planning of a vacation, unless they're nuts like we are about Disney, like we drank the Kool-Aid.
We would know, but the average...
Who knows Nights of Joy is there in September?
Who even knows what it is?
Yeah,
right?
and not that it's bad. It's a great thing. It's a whole beautiful... Right. It's awesome. I love that it's for the kids and for everybody, not just the kids, but I like what it stands for.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, it isn't something that's like everybody would know about. If I went to... 50 Disney fans and ask them, I bet you 35 to 40 wouldn't know what Nights of Joy are.
Right, exactly. I mean, we do a show, obviously, about Disney World, and that's how I know about it. I mean, if I didn't do this podcast, I mean, I probably know vaguely what it is, but I mean, I probably wouldn't roll off my tongue, that's for sure.
Because you used to listen to a lot of other, you still do, but you listen to podcasts, so that's how you would know about it, because they're reporting it, but... Before podcasts came out, until I got like crazy about listening to them, I wouldn't have known about it unless I found it on Deb's page or something from surfing. But and the only time it comes in effect is like a couple weeks before it starts.
Right.
So if you plan your trip 6 months out, and when you book with Disney, that's why you should use a TA like us. When you book with Disney, they're not going to tell you when you book your... Well, that weekend is Nights of Joy. They ain't going to tell you that.
Right. Right. So, you know, you're absolutely right. And you know, a lot of people do. You know, they book their ADRs at 180 days, and they figure out what days they're going to what parks. And, you know, if you happen not to go on the... Walt Disney World, official site and look at the park schedules or park hours. And even then, you're right, Doug, sometimes they'll change them when it gets a little closer. They'll tweak them, So, you know, you may have to go back in and reroute your whole vacation based on one of these Night of Joys or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or you're going to have to add Park Hopper because I swear about, I bet you 50% of the trips I book, the people don't get Park Hopper.
Right.
Because they don't, because a lot of times it's their only time going, and they're saying, I'm going to spend the whole day there anyway. They don't realize what the value of it is.
Right.
And then, if they pick this day, they're going home at 7 o'clock. And if they're not into swimming or if it's cool out, what do? I mean, yeah, if you're at a Disney hotel, you're going to have a good time, but it's if you could be at Epcot till 11, or if there's extra magic hours at Epcot, you're going to wish you were there, and you're not going to be able to, and it's not fair.
Right. Or you're going to end up downtown at Disney Springs, which fine, that's fine, but that's not the point.
No, the point is you should be able to go for what you're spending. You should be able to go to whatever park you want, regardless of whatever day, for the price of the tickets nowadays.
Yeah. I tend to believe, or I'd like to believe, that, in the next handful of years that it's going to go in that direction, because
it's just too confusing,
right,
on top of things.
These events are going to keep coming, and they're going to make more, and those that are popular, they're going to expand the schedule and the shows, and they're just going to have to do that to avoid unhappy guests, because, people are going to complain, and they're going to get burnt, like you said, and they're going to be unhappy, and that's when they'll do something about it.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is during a week, if you're down there 1 week where something like this is going on to Magic Kingdom, because like you said, they keep adding them. So what if 1 week Harambe Nights is going on at the Animal Kingdom? Something's going on at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, and the studios are being worked on. All the construction going on. I mean, what do you do? And then certain times of the year, certain parks close early anyway. So now they're all closed early?
Right, right.
And I know that's the price you pay for not going, but it's like they're cutting too many quarters with all these shows. If they would just give the park hopper, I wouldn't complain about them. I've always been an advocate for the shows.
Oh,
but I don't like it when I just don't like it when they start cutting the hours off of the normal business hours. I think Nights of Joy should start at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah. And run till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I could deal with that. I mean, if they close an hour or two early, as long as you could eat dinner and do a few attractions after dinner, I mean, yeah, it's still not as good as being open till, possible as late as it could be, but at least you feel like you're getting a full day's worth, your full value of your ticket. Anyways.
The Magic Kingdom on a Friday or Saturday, you should never have to be kicked out of it before 9 o'clock.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. No,
it's just wrong. That's my whole point. Yeah, if you want, Nights of Joy runs from 9 till 2.
Right.
Fine.
Yeah.
Then, but I'm not. 7 o'clock is way too early to be kicked out of the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, on a weekend night, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean,
because it's crowded.
Yeah, people are out and they want to be out doing stuff, and that's like prime time. Even when you're home, on the weekends you tend to, if you do go out, you stay out later or whatever. Who wants to go back to, as beautiful as the resorts are, like you said? I mean, people want to be out enjoying themselves.
Exactly. Most of the time, so a lot of times we eat dinner and we'll go back. We might go to one of the resorts, eat dinner, and then go back to the parks. Like 7 o'clock is you're ready to go again. That's after you refueled.
You get your second wind.
Yeah, no Magic Kingdom for you tonight.
Right.
it's just wrong.
Right. Yeah, so that's pretty much it for news that I have, unless there's something that happened over the last week that you're aware of that I didn't cover.
I will say one thing. The new spears, the finishing of the castle is really looking beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The spires out front there with the castle foreground. Yeah, I mean, it's they still continue to add and tweak and, make this, castle...
The whole courtyard area is absolutely beautiful, the hub.
It absolutely is, and eventually it'll be done someday, but they continue to work on it.
They keep tweaking it, don't they?
Yep.
And then the final chance to see your Frozen fun. You missed it again this summer, Dan.
Oh, gee. I'm torn.
I'll tell you what. You kid and you joke, but I'm telling you what. You'd have enjoyed the festivities that went on there.
I guarantee you I would.
You'd have got into it. I know you like all the Frozen music.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, when she starts, do you want to build a snowman? Yes, I do. And then the snow comes down. I'm all excited.
Right.
I still remember that. I mean, when the snow was coming down on Hollywood Studios, I'm 48 years old, 47 at that time, and I'm sitting there, I smiled like I was 5 years old. You know, I was sticking my tongue out trying to catch some snowflakes. But you know what I mean? It made a kid out of me again. That's what I love about going there, little things like that.
Well, I think it'll be back in some shape, way, or form eventually. I mean, as we've covered time and time again, it's such a popular movie with popular characters. It'll be back. I mean, I know it's going away, and, you know, with all the construction, they probably won't be able to do it next summer. But we'll see it in some way, I'm sure.
Oh, maybe they'll put it over in World Showcase. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, maybe they'll replace Illuminations with this show.
No.
Be careful
strike
what
your
you ask
tongue on that one. Strike your tongue on that one. But anyway, I just also wanted to wish the 5th was Pluto. It was Pluto's birthday. Your dog's birthday was September 5th.
How old is he now?
I don't know how old he is now.
Oh.
But no, he was Oswald the Rabbit's birthday is today.
Yeah.
His first on September 5th. He was introduced in 1927.
Okay.
And Pluto was introduced in 1930.
Okay.
So Pluto be 85 years old.
Wow, he's getting up there.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 85 years old Pluto would be.
Wow.
Yeah, Pluto and Mortimer Mouse, or Oswald the Rabbit, Mortimer Mouse. I don't know why I said that, but Oswald the Rabbit and Pluto were both have the same birthday. The only difference is Oswald is 3 years older than Pluto.
Hmm. Yeah, the but characters. Yeah. Imagine when they get to be 100. There'll be some massive celebrations, I'm sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Pluto, his first short, he became out in a short called The Chain Gang.
Yeah.
So, and then Oswald the Rabbit was first brought to screen in 1927. But he wasn't the only Disney character born on the 5th, and that was where Pluto came out. So tell Pluto his great-great-great-great-grandfather was born in 1930.
I will let him know.
So you got any other news,
buddy? No, that's pretty much it.
I'll pick up the tab this week. We didn't drink that much. Right. We talked too much. We didn't get to drink much.
Okay. Sounds good.
So, and I'm not buying the chicken wings, though, you just grabbed. You're taking chicken wings home. I'm not buying them. Put them on his tab.
I thought they were complimentary.
Oh, they weren't.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Going to charge you.
All right.
But this was a lot of fun, Dan.
Yeah.
You guys, please give us a review over on Facebook. We'd really, really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter at WDW Main Street. And that's going to be it, guys. Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you guys real soon. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.